Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome into another edition of the Doggone Football Podcast. I am Jarvis Davis.
And I'm Andy Bunker.
Yes, we are here today, and we got the NFL draft coming up, Bunk, man. And
we're a week away.
I'm excited, man. I almost wet my drawers just now because I'm just so excited about what's going on, what's about to happen, man, because this is a time of year where a lot of teams feel like they're in the running for, you know, a good season. This is almost like Christmas time for guys, for all the scouts who've been scouting all of the college players and going on the road and trying to find the next guy or see if they can find the next Tom Brady in the sixth round, and that hasn't quite happened yet.
Yeah.
But they're still trying to do it. And this is a lot of time where we start to hear a lot of bullish coming out. A lot of teams throw out a lot of stuff to try to throw other teams off, and they say they really like this guy, but they really don't. They try to entice teams to try to move up. I just think this is the time of year where a lot of foolery is out there.
I agree with you. I think part of it is from teams, right? Teams are trying to throw a little smoke screen up, maybe try to trick another team, their rival, into thinking that they're thinking something that they're not thinking. All these little mind games. Also, there's just a lot of media stuff that's out there right now because there's been such a long period of time between the last football game that was actually played and then the combine. That was nice for sure. But there's just been so much time to fill that we've gotten to the point where people are just creating stuff. Like I read a mock draft on ESPN.com that was not actually a mock draft. It was trade speculation for all 32 teams, if all 32 teams were to make a trade instead of actually make a draft pick. And to me, that just says it's time for the draft to get here because people are just inventing stories at this point.
And it's sad because this is the time of year that you, like you say, you get excited. You try to get into the mode of, all right, here's what we're trying to do for this year. And a lot of guys, a lot of writers who try to follow things a certain way. They try to come up with new ideas. No, you just need to stop. Just think about, you know, you don't have to make this much more exciting than it already is.
You know how I knew it was time for the draft to get here and we needed to stop letting people invent stories before draft day? Was this Joshua Dobbs thing, like this Joshua Dobbs narrative that has been created, like that he's going to be the steal of the draft or something like that. Like,
dude,
It says two things to me. Number one, we've had too much time off, and
yes,
people are bored,
yes,
and having to create something. Like, again, like we said, writers have jobs to do, right? They have to come up with something to get people to click and read. And number two, people don't watch college football. Like, a lot of these people that are draft experts, so-called draft experts, people that are big-time NFL writers and NFL people, I don't think they watch college football like we watch college football. Because anybody that spent any time watching Tennessee play last year knows that dude is not going to be good in the NFL.
And the crazy thing is, he is the guy that essentially got Bus Jones on the hot seat right now,
right,
going into this season. Because a lot of people were picking Tennessee on last year. Oh, they're the favorites to win the SEC East, and because they have experience coming back. Joshua Dobbs is not a good quarterback.
They damn near lost to App State.
He is not a good quarterback.
If App State had a kicker, they would have beat them in regulation last year.
Oh, my God.
And their whole season would have been derailed.
They were not good. And,
right,
and then you talk about conjured up hot takes around this time of year. Deshaun Watson is better than Mitchell Trubisky. I'm sorry.
I know.
Like, there's nothing you can tell me or show me on tape. Hey, he's the guy. He has the arm. He's a prototypical quarterback. Why? Because he's white, he's 6'4", and has a strong arm? I mean, like, what does a prototypical quarterback look like? Please tell me. Please explain.
The 6'4 and strong arm was unnecessary. I think you had it right the first time. It's like this idea. I know. I'm with you. Honestly. Yeah. I laugh. Like, let teams pass on Deshaun Watson, really. Like, let
please do.
Let the Browns pass on him and take somebody else at 12. Let all these other teams that need a quarterback, let the San Francisco 49ers pass on him and take Patrick Mahomes. Like, Patrick Mahomes, to me, is exactly the guy that 5 years from now, we're sitting in the sports pit getting ready to do a show. Like, we literally, you and me did this last week. You had Wikipedia up, and we were looking at the 2004 NFL draft, and you were like, oh, yeah,
I remember that guy.
Remember Jim Druckenmiller? Can you believe the 49ers drafted him in the first round?
Or insert Texas Tech quarterback here.
Exactly. That's Patrick Mahomes 5 years from now. And again, right. I don't want this to be interpreted as I'm hoping Patrick Mahomes or Joshua Dobbs or Mitchell Trubisky, any of these people fail. I wish them success.
You can say people can suck and they're not going to do anything with their lives.
Well, it's pretty tried and true, though. Yeah. Like, the same types of guys succeed year after year after year. Occasionally, there's a guy like a Joe Flacco from Delaware, right? Occasionally, there's a Tony Romo from Eastern Illinois or wherever he went. But for the most part, it's guys that had success in college, that you've seen do well before, that have the pedigree to do it, and they get drafted into situations that are beneficial for them. They get drafted into a good spot, and then they do well. Or you are a mediocre quarterback who played in a system that makes you look better. You're able to convince some scouts and some general managers about your hype. Maybe you go to the combine and you
rip it up.
You have some measurables. And then you get drafted by a team early in the first
round. Blaine Gabbert?
Yeah, and you go there and you're bad.
He did it.
But Jake Locker, to me, is the prime example of that.
Achilles Smith did it, too.
Anybody who watched Jake Locker play 3 games in college football could have said, oh, no, that dude's not going to be good in the NFL.
But the thing about Jake Locker is that he passed up an opportunity to be the number one overall pick.
He did.
And he came back for a year and stunk it up.
And you know why he did that? Because in his heart of hearts, Jake
smoked
Locker.
A lot of weed?
No,
I heard they got the good stuff over there.
They do, no doubt. And he's from Ferndale too, which is like it's about 10 miles from
the
Canada.
Weed capital.
I'm telling you, it's legal now in Washington. It's 10 miles from Canada, so they've always had the good hookup in Ferndale. Because Jake Locker knew he wasn't going to be a good NFL quarterback. He knew that. He was like, you know what? Let me go back to Washington and try to have one more glory year.
Why not cash out, though? That's my whole thing.
Oh, he cashed out.
Yeah, I mean.
He made $26 million in his career.
Oh, my God.
Or maybe. Ooh. Something like that. Somewhere between 20 and 25.
Yeah, regardless. Yeah, 20 and 25. You're still in the 20s of millions.
You know what he did?
He
moved back to Ferndale, and he's an assistant high school coach, and he's living the lavish life.
Yes.
I almost got to go to his wedding.
Really?
I was this close. I've got my index finger and my thumb very close together for all the people listening to us right now on 929thegame.com. I was just starting to date a girl who played softball at the University of Washington with his fiance. His fiance was an athlete at UW too.
Okay.
And so they played softball together. And she was in the party. She was like one of the maids of honor, or whatever they call that.
The wedding party.
Yeah, she was in the
bridal
wedding party. And I think I would have got invited, but she was so involved in the wedding. You know what I mean? Like, she had to do a speech and all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
So I would
very elaborate, I'm sure.
I wouldn't have known anybody, you know, and she would have been doing all the other stuff. And then we ended up only dating for like 3 or 4 weeks. But I thought I was, you know. That's where I was at in my life at that time.
You know, I like to delve into stuff like that.
Well, when she didn't invite me to Jake Locker's wedding, that was it.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to go.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure that's all who was.
Trying to go.
Well, speaking of weddings, one of the weddings that has happened down here in Atlanta is the marriage of Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff. And Thomas Dimitroff has come out this week.
Is that legal in Georgia?
No.
Well, maybe someday
so,
it will be.
So, yeah, let me do awkward segue into Thomas Dimitrov.
No, that was a really good segue. I derailed it. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's
was,
all right,
that
man.
That was really good.
Derail and Doggone Football Podcast. Yes, it goes together.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Like Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitrov.
Yes, they go together very, very well. So Thomas Dimitrov has come out this week, and he has made comments about talking about moving back. And I think right now the Atlanta Falcons are in a good spot. Because what we've seen over the years with the New England Patriots, what they've done since they are professionals at drafting from 25 to like 32 every year, seemingly. So they have that option of being able to pick up some more draft picks. And I think the Falcons are, I think they're going to be on the move. I don't know whether they're going to go up or down, but I think they're for sure going to be on the move when it comes next Thursday.
If you had to bet whether or not they would move up into the first round of the draft from 31 or they would move back into the second round from 31, where would you put your money? Because I'm convinced that they're only going one direction.
If I had to put my money on it, I would say they're going down. Because
back into the second round.
Back into the second round.
Me because too, 100%.
Dan Quinn has said that there are about 5 to 8 guys that he feels that can come in and contribute when it comes to edge, pass rusher, guys that can touch the quarterback. If that's the case, which I'm totally on board with him when he says that, because there are a lot of guys that I actually like too, but that means there's going to be some guys that are going to slip. They're going to fall. They're going to fall into the second round. So if I have money in my pocket and my life depended on it, I'm putting my money on trading back into the second round.
Me too. Absolutely, because I think that there are a lot of guys, like you said, there's a lot of guys that they like in the first round. If they were up earlier in the round, if they were able to have their pick, ultimately they're not going to be able to. They're going to have to deal with what falls to them at 31, and maybe there's that one guy that they say, all right, if this guy falls, whoever that guy might be, I don't know if it's TJ Watt, I don't know if it's Taco Charlton. I don't know who their A number one guy is.
A guy like Charles Harris, who I think they really, really secretly
right.
like.
Yeah, like Charles Harris. Missouri, exactly. Yeah. Because Taco Charlton, to me, is going to be there at 31. Because
he was a one-year wonder.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and that seems...
Be wary of those guys.
It seems risky. Yes. The risk factor of everyone you draft is risky. There's no
of
question.
Course.
But the risk factor with a guy like that, that has steady dropped in his projection, and scouts have said less and less nice things about him. And
we don't have that much
himself.
Film on him.
Exactly.
We're starting to see, like, okay, why did this guy right. only produce 1 year?
And then other guys, like you said, like Charles Harris or Derek Barnett or other guys that maybe were around that area and they've
yeah.
been moving up.
Mm-hmm.
If that guy ends up being there, because on draft day, a lot of these general managers, especially general managers that aren't in the comfortable position that the Falcons are in, they start to feel the heat. The clock starts ticking and that 15 minutes goes really, really fast, or that 10 minutes or whatever it is in the first round now, starts to go really, really fast, and then they make a mistake. Honestly, it's amazing to see how many general managers panic in the first round of the NFL draft.
They do.
Because they thought this guy was going to be there, or maybe they had two or three names that they wanted, and then all of a sudden those guys aren't there anymore, and then they're caught on their heels and they make a mistake. So if the Falcons
Don't you think most of the time those are quarterback needy teams?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I do. Teams that find themselves in that need, because obviously that's the biggest and quickest way to get better in the NFL, or the quickest way to get fired as a general manager if you make the wrong decision.
Mess up on quarterback.
I read an article earlier this week about how of the last 5 Super Bowls, so the last 10 teams basically that have played in the Super Bowl, none of them have drafted a skill position player in the first round, a skill position offensive player in the first round, because they have them, right? I mean, that's how you get to the Super Bowl, is already having your quarterback,
dynamic offense,
having
yeah.
a good receiver or two, having a good running back or two, and not having to go in the first round to do that. That way you're able to go into the draft and draft defensively, and that's what the Falcons and the Patriots have both done the last 4 drafts. They've either taken defensive players or offensive linemen, which is a nice place to be. When you have to draft a quarterback in the first round, you're very likely not going to be good for the next couple of seasons.
And guess what? Drafting offensive linemen and defensive guys, they're the safer picks. offensive lineman is probably one of the safest, non-sexiest picks you can probably actually do in the first round. And the Atlanta Falcons have pretty much done that the past couple of years. They kind of threw people off, threw a curveball with Keanu Neal and all of those guys. But I think that when you have what the Falcons have right now in front of them is options. And when you're a good team and you're sitting at the bottom of the first round and you have quarterback needy teams, like Arizona is looking for a quarterback that can mold for the future. And I've heard they really, really, really like Patrick Mahomes. So, and Bruce Arians, they said, hey, he might think like, hey, tell his general manager like, hey, yeah, let's go get Patrick. I heard such and such really likes them. Let's go call Thomas Dimitroff down there.
You know how good of a team you have to be to draft a quarterback in the first round with the plan of letting him sit for the next couple years? The Cardinals are not that team. They're not that good.
No, they're not.
They missed the playoffs last
year. Well, they have a lot of talent on defense
now. They sure do.
They do.
They sure do. There's no doubt about that. And they were very good 2 years ago. Again, didn't matter. Didn't even get to the NFC Championship game. But they, to me, don't have the luxury of being able to do that. It doesn't even hardly exist in the NFL right now to be able to do that. You have to be so good in so many other places to say, I'm going to draft this guy in the first round, let him sit behind this quarterback for a year or two, and then I'm going to throw him into the, then I'm going to put him into the game. Like, if I was running a team, that would be the ideal situation.
It buys you time, though.
You would love to have a guy that you could do that with, but there isn't time. Like, you don't have time if you're a general manager, especially if you are needing a quarterback like that, right? Like, nobody has that kind of time.
Certain guys do. Like, Bruce Arians, he's been pretty successful since he's been in Arizona.
You think he's got that much leeway?
I think so. I mean, because like, when you think about what he did for Carson Palmer, like, before Carson Palmer came to Arizona, I mean, everybody thought his career was done when he went to after he left Oakland.
Well, he sat a year out.
Yeah, he did retire. And he brought him off the couch and said, hey, come play for me. Next thing you know, Arizona's contending.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a very good young defense. So, and Bruce Arians is a guy, you know, coming from the Pittsburgh Steelers, as an offensive coordinator, he has that aura about him where, hey, I'm going to be around here for a long time. So, yeah, I can take a chance on the first. I can trade up into the first round and get a quarterback and sit him for a couple of years. Because, hey, ownership, guys up in upper management, they trust me.
That's what you need. If you have that trust, obviously Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff
have right now with Arthur Blank.
Yeah.
Hey.
Then you have a little bit more leeway to make a creative decision like that or a risky decision like that. But yeah, if you could do that with a quarterback, I love the idea of being able to. It's just such an impatient league right now that if you do that and then Carson Palmer gets hurt and he either has to play, whoever they draft, that quarterback has to play, or Carson Palmer struggles and they miss the playoffs, the heat gets turned up real fast in the NFL. You go from having the trust of management to not having it in one bad season, I feel like.
Yeah, and that's the position that you have to really be careful about, because I was reading an article about Doug Whalen, general manager for the Buffalo Bills. He has been, some people have wondered, like, why does this dude still have a job? Because he's been able to, quote unquote, hire two different coaches. And he's been through two different regimes. And when you look at it, the article was talking about how he was going to draft a quarterback and he's looking forward to get a young guy in there to get behind Tyrod Taylor, assuming that Tyrod Taylor is the stopgap, very expensive one at that. And it's amazing to me. I think a lot of times general managers draft quarterbacks so they can say, hey, look, this is the future right here.
Right.
Look over here.
By themselves.
Don't pay attention
more
to all of the quarterbacks that I failed on. Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, Tyrod Taylor's been okay, but he's not the face of a franchise. He's a little smallish. He's injury prone. He's more than likely to be injured on the next play, like last year. So when you have all of these things in here, I think general managers kind of try to get a little tricky with ownership saying, "Hey, I drafted a young guy. Here's the guy. Look over here. Don't look at this right hand. Look over here." like somebody else does on a daily basis. 45.
Wow. We went there.
Yeah, sorry. We went there. I had to sneak that in.
That's
on the
okay.
Doggone Football Podcast.
Well, you know, the Patriots were
in.
At the White House the other day, so
yeah.
It's in some way football related.
Speaking of the Patriots at the White House, did you happen to see Rob Gronkowski?
I did.
Play his little fiddle.
His little prank.
Little prank on Sean Spicer there. Now, I've heard, you know, I'm going to pull my best Carl Dukes impression. I don't start rumors. I just talk about when they come out. They said that was staged.
What a shocker. Wow. That's hard to believe. Of course it was. This is the White House.
Well, I don't
you think
know.
People just get to go wherever they want and come out and pop out of closets when
I mean,
people don't know where they are?
Rob Gronkowski seemingly does. I mean, he goes wherever he wants.
You're
he
right. He does
has
have,
porn stars
he
on the boats and stuff.
He does.
And
he gets to play by
you know,
a separate
type,
set of
yeah,
rules.
He plays
but inside
rules.
The White House, I mean, they're not running any risks. It's a tight ship. Well, in terms of security.
I think that's subjective.
Let me clarify my statement. In terms of security, in terms of where you're able to go and clearance and stuff like that, you're not just wandering the halls of the White House, especially not right now with some people who, you know. Yeah.
They're very trigger happy up going, you know,
right.
There in D.C.,
no,
seemingly.
I mean, of course it was staged. It was pretty yeah. funny, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's Rob Gronkowski. I was just talking to my wife about this because I was just looking at it from, Rob Gronkowski is the guy that nobody can get mad at.
Right.
Like, I've played with guys that were just, like, silly as crap. You never saw them get upset, you know, and they were good at what they did on the field. So when they did some stuff where you're like, come on, bro. Like, really? Like, you really going to jump off in a press briefing like, hey, you need some help, you know? And it's just hard to get mad at guys like that. And that's the type of guy Rob Gronkowski is.
I agree 100%. And I know that there's always conversations about whether or not he gets a double standard and other NFL players get a lot more criticism for a lot less stuff than Gronk gets. And I see that. I definitely see some of that. But I also think it's a lot of it is personality driven. I mean, he's just a goofy dude.
He's a likable dude.
He's just a big old frat kid who
yeah.
happens to be really, really good at tight end in the NFL.
Yes. Who's been injured.
Yes, constantly.
Off injured the past couple years.
It'll be interesting to see what he looks like next year because that's his third back surgery. And we know very specifically what guys who were once great athletes look like after three back surgeries here in Atlanta, watching Dwight Howard drag his slow, sorry butt up the court in this Washington Wizards series.
And Tiger Woods, who just had his fourth back surgery.
Right.
Yeah, you're just not the same guy.
I want to get back to the draft in a minute because I want to hear who you think, especially if the Falcons don't move out of 31, who do they stay there for? If they move into the second round, who do they maybe target at that spot? But while we're talking about the Patriots at the White House, I hadn't had a chance to really give an opinion at all about the fact that half the team didn't go. Like, half the guys on the roster decided not to go to the White House. I brought this up.
34 and 34, right?
Yeah. 34 went, 34
yeah.
didn't.
Yeah.
I brought it up very, very briefly on the air last night. And even just mentioning it, the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line went nuts with people that were angry at the players not going. Like, I personally don't have a problem whatsoever if someone decides not to go.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just trying to put myself in that situation. Like right now, given the current administration,
yes.
would I go? I still think that I would. And again, I fully support people for not going.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have hard feelings for anyone for not going. I would try to go and enjoy the White House of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the White House.
Because that's always
yeah.
there, right?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
like that always exists. The presidency right. itself, the office of the president, to me is something that's really interesting and worth respecting and worth paying your respect to. The current holder of that job right now.
We call him 45.
Yeah, I don't know how much I want to go see 45, but he's the guy who has the job right now.
Yeah.
I would go, I think.
Okay. Well, for me, it kind of depends. And I know this might not be a popular opinion, and I don't care. if you don't like it. So, but
it's a free podcast.
It's a free podcast. It's a doggone football podcast on 929thegame.com. But I think that for me, it will depend on where I am in my career. Because if I'm a guy who undrafted, free agent, fifth round pick, even fourth round pick, been in the league, still on my rookie deal, I'm going. Because if I have to think about self-preservation, you know, Colin Kaepernick made a decision last year purely based off of what he believed, and he was established. He had been in the league for a few years, so he was able, and he had a platform purely based off of how he has played, played the position, and a lot of people followed and listened and knew who he was. They knew who he was because he was a good football player. So I think that if I'm in Colin Kaepernick's shoes and it's me, I have a chance to go, I would say no. But if I'm the guy that fifth round pick, I'm trying to make it to get at least get a pension out of this.
Right.
And
you're not trying to give them extra reason to cut you.
I don't want to give any extra reason to cut me. And that's the God's honest truth.
Which is a shame, but you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it is. It is a shame, but that's the society that we live in. I can't, it's not really, it's free speech, but you have to deal with, you know, whatever your free speech is.
Yeah, and it's,
you know,
freer for
consequences.
Some.
Yes.
It's freer for some than it is for others.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and a lot of people are like, well, you don't really firm. Well, I know what I believe, but like I said, if that's my profession, I have to make decisions to stay in my profession if I want to stay in my profession. Now, if I'm looking to transition out of my profession and I still have somewhat of a platform, yeah, I'm going to do what I need to do. But, however, if I still want to get these $275,000 a year salary or $350,000 a year salary as a player who's barely hanging on as a special teams guy or practice squad guy make $90,000. If I'm a practice squad guy, yeah, I'm going to be there and be shaking hands and kissing babies. You know, that's what I'm going to do. That's just me because yeah. I know how this thing works. Like, if, I mean, just look at Colin Kaepernick. This dude, people seem to forget that this guy was a Super Bowl quarterback.
Well, it wasn't that long ago that Ron Jaworski proclaimed that he would be the greatest quarterback in NFL history because of all the tools that he had. Remember that?
Yes, Jaws.
I realized that was an ESPN fabricated and manufactured story.
Oh, of course.
Nonetheless, that was something that someone who is a respected football mind on the biggest network that we have
in
terms
of sports
said. He went out, he came out and said that on TV. that was not that long ago.
Yes, he did. I mean, and that's what you have to think about when you have to think about the whole landscape of things when you make decisions like these. When you mix social issues and politics and all that stuff into sports, especially football, because it's so beloved and people love their NFL football. So you have to think about those things. And I, for one, like I said, if I'm established and I have my platform, regardless of whether they cut me or not, I'm all in. I'm not going. But, you know, if I have to do what I have to do, if I have my little child looking at me or my wife looking at me, that's who's been moving around with me, going to different teams, and, oh, babe, I've been invited to this training camp. Oh, now that I finally latched on, I'm going to risk that because I want to stand up for what I believe in. Yeah, I still stand up for what I believe in. However, I'm going to have to, sometimes you have to bite the bullet.
All right, I agree with you. I think I have the official 2017 Falcons schedule in my hand.
Ah, yes. The schedule. We know that they're going to be opening up in Chicago on the road against the mighty fighting Mike Glennons.
I feel like I've asked for this. I feel like I'm being punished for all the fun that I've made of Mike Glennon this offseason. Because, like, every time I bring up how whack Mike Glennon is on the air, Somebody always texts in and says something about he did this, he did that, blah, blah, blah. Like, he can do more than you can or whatever. And I'm like, he hasn't barely. Like, he's hardly done anything more in the NFL than
I have. He's collected checks.
But he's got a $14.5 million contract. And now the Falcons opened up the season on the road against him. And I just feel like I'm going to be punished because he's going to go out there and throw five touchdowns against the Falcons. And everyone's going to come yelling at me because I jinxed him.
Yeah, I don't think your bad luck or that you feel that you have in life, I don't think is that strong.
I hope not.
It can't be that
strong. Can't be that strong.
Matter of fact, I know it's not that strong.
Okay,
Mike Glennon won't throw for five touchdowns. I'm going to go ahead and say that right now.
Okay.
You can book it.
Good.
Doggone Football Podcast, 420. The Weed Smokers Christmas, you know? Yeah, I'm marking it down right now. Mike Glennon will not throw for five touchdowns. And I think this schedule, the fact that the schedule coming out, I think is very interesting because when you look at some of the, you know, the home opener against Green Bay,
yep.
You know they're going to sell
Sunday
the
Night Football
crap yep. out of that. And I'm gonna be looking forward to it because it's another chance to see Aaron Rodgers lose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not a big fan at all. He's just not a likable guy in my humble opinion.
He's a whiner.
Yes, he is a whiner.
He's very soft, I guess. I'm not allowed to call people soft that I can't beat up, and I can't beat up Aaron Rodgers.
You can call Aaron Rodgers soft.
Okay.
See, you know,
I can't beat him up.
The more you get to know me, Bunk, you know, the more exceptions I get to make for you because I feel like you're a cool dude.
Okay, thank you.
You know, so I'm going to make exceptions
He's
for you.
He's very emotional.
But
that's kind of what I meant.
I won't make those exceptions for
well,
because
that.
I don't like them.
I appreciate that. Well, if you helped me, we could probably do it. But
yeah, of course. I got your back.
Yeah. You could handle Aaron Rodgers easily.
Yeah. I don't fight for long. I like to knock people out. You know? I don't like the boxing. I ain't into boxing. Yeah. I'm going to grab you or I'm going to knock you out.
12
one
rounds
or the other.
Is trouble.
No, I'm not. I would be in a lot of trouble.
All right. Because I have the schedule right here. They open up at the Bears. I like that. You get a road game out of the way. The Bears are terrible. To me, it seems like a very winnable game. Nice to open up the season with a win on the road. Again, knocking on wood, hoping that happens. One of the things that I despise that sports radio people do is this idea, and this will happen on our radio station.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure.
People will go through the schedule, and they will call games either a win or a loss, as if you have any idea what the Miami Dolphins are going to look like in week 6.
I have no clue.
You know the NFL is different every single year. Last year, nobody predicted the Falcons would go to the Super Bowl, and they did. The year before that, everyone thought the Panthers were going to be trash. They went 15-1. You don't know anything about what's going to happen. Nonetheless, can we do that? Can I run through the schedule and you just give me, can we just like a rapid fire?
Sure, let's
wins,
go. Let's do it.
Win
let's
and
do
loss
it.
Schedule?
I don't know who they're going to draft in. I don't know who's going to be the next Dak Prescott, the
All
next
right.
Deion Jones.
I've got a W column and an L column. I'm going to give you the game. You just tell me if it's a win or loss. We don't need any analysis or anything more than that. I just want to know what the Falcons' schedule or what the Falcons' record is going
to
be next
so
year.
So for the next 5 minutes, you're going to listen to Dumb Down Podcast.
No. Not 5 minutes. This shouldn't take 45 seconds.
All right, Dumb Down Podcast.
Okay.
Go.
Week 1 at the Bears.
Win.
Week 2 at home against the Packers.
Win.
Week 3 at the Detroit Lions.
Win.
Week 4 on the road. No, at home against the Buffalo Bills.
Win.
Bye week. Week 6 at home against Miami.
Win.
So you've got them at 5-0 right now.
5-0.
Week 7 at the Patriots on Sunday Night Football.
Ew.
Week 8 at the New York Jets.
Win.
6-1. Week 9 at the Panthers.
Ew.
6-2. Week 10 versus the Cowboys.
Win.
Week 11 at the Seattle Seahawks.
Ooh,
you know what happens in Seattle. The refs get liberal.
Ew.
Oh, no. People are going to be mad at you for that. Jarvis said that, not me.
I know.
Week 12 versus Tampa at home.
Win.
Week 13 versus Minnesota at home.
Win.
Week 14 versus New Orleans at home.
At home, win.
Week 15 at Tampa.
At Tampa, L.
Week 16 at New Orleans. That's Christmas Eve.
Win.
And week 17 versus Carolina at home.
Win.
You've got them going 12-4.
Not bad.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That's not a bad season.
11-5 last year.
Yeah, 11-5.
I'll take 12-4.
Yeah, you get better.
Losing to the Seahawks, huh?
Yeah, man.
The Sea Chickens?
Here's the thing, man. Like, just thinking about going on the road, going in that atmosphere, and almost pulling it out last year, if it weren't for a quote-unquote bad call.
It was a bad call,
but I don't like put whole games on one call.
Agreed.
At the end of the season. I know I'm sounding like a coach right now, but... I just don't want to put it on singly on that. But when you have, it's just the atmosphere up there. I would really love to go to that game. I would really like to go to that game. Like, hey, okay, let's see what's going on. I would like to see what the 12th man is all about, because that type of atmosphere, and I think that the city of Atlanta is building towards that with Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's what I'm really looking forward to see what the home field advantage really looks like. Like, in the dome on the way to the Super Bowl last year, the dome was rocking. Like, if you can get that during the regular season, I think that the Falcons will really have something really special at Mercedes-Benz. But it's just natural for me to see going on the road in that environment,
yeah,
against a team like that in their house. It's going to be pretty difficult to get a win up there.
11. Maybe, who knows? That gives us the remainder of the offseason, the entire summer, and 10 weeks of the regular season to build this podcast into a road trip worthy podcast.
Yes.
Maybe we can sell this thing and get them to let us go to that game in Seattle, because we have free lodging.
Yes.
We can stay with my mom.
Yes, let's do
she
that.
She lives 10 minutes from the stadium.
I haven't spent a night over anybody's house in a very long time.
Yeah,
I would love
great.
To do that.
It'd be a doggone football podcast slumber party.
I like to walk around with no socks on now.
Yeah, no socks is a must. We're not Dustin Johnson. We're not walking around the house with socks on. That's weird.
No shirt too sometimes.
Well, you'll see. We'll see how
well,
you feel.
Wife beater.
We'll see how much no shirt action you want week 11 in Seattle. It'll be what, mid November, early November by then?
Yeah, about somewhere around there.
It'll be cold and rainy. You're going to want to wear a sweatshirt.
Yeah, sweatshirt probably.
Anyway,
suffice.
Maybe we could go on the road. That would be great. I would love to go out there and have people experience
that. You know what I'm going to start doing?
Do a podcast live
from
Seattle.
So that happens, I'm going to start going downstairs to the sales, people where they dwell, start punching people in the head. Like, hey, sell this.
That's a great idea.
How about you sell this?
That's a great idea.
You know, you always sending me emails asking me for stuff. How about you sell this?
Secondly, yeah. And then we'll get back to the draft and all this stuff. I also want to talk about Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'm glad you brought that up. There's no ceiling if there's no roof.
The ceiling is the roof.
Well, not if there's no roof. That's your catchphrase, which is really, really funny. I've said it a million times on the air. I think Seattle's going to be mediocre next year, and we can talk about that later. I think they are trending in the wrong direction. I think they have a lot of bad locker room issues. I think that they're
offensive line.
They're ready. The offensive line is bad. They just signed Fat Eddie Lacy for way too much money. Like, they're in a bad spot right now. And honestly, I think that they're due for a couple down years. After all the success that they've had. But that's another conversation for another day. You said you think the Falcons are going to trade back in the draft. If they don't, who's the guy that they absolutely want and have to have at number 31?
I would have to go with Charles Harris. Because when I think back to that Georgia game, my goodness. You talking about first step, quick first step? That dude was screaming off the edge.
Yeah.
And a guy like that paired up with Vic Beasley, and you have Dontari Poe and throwing in Derek Shelby in the rotation. You bringing back Adrian Claiborne, who you're probably going to slide down at the defensive tackle spot, and it was pretty solid at that position. You talking about all of these guys, you know, throwing him in the mix with all of these guys, these veterans, and the NFL sack leader. I think that's the guy that they covet. And I think that's the guy that they will probably be itching to probably pull the trigger on moving up. However, I don't think he's going to be available, and I think the asking price is going to be too much to move up.
Yeah, they would have to
try to get him.
I just don't see the value for them to give up extra stuff.
Yes.
To move up to get a guy like that.
Unless it's Miles Garrett.
Right, exactly. You know? Unless it's a guy who you feel like is a
home
run.
Other than that, yeah.
Because at 31, and correct me if I'm wrong, but at 31, you want to get a guy that's going to be a starter for the next 5 years. You want to hit a home run. But if you don't, it's a little bit more acceptable than if you trade up into the top 10 or you have a pick in the top 10 and you miss. If you miss that early in the first round, that's a disaster and you're in trouble. If you've had two really, really good drafts in a row and you miss at 31 just a little bit, as long as you have other good picks later in the draft, I think that you can justify that.
Yeah, and it's... And it's all about weighted, right? Like, I think Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff were very transparent when they spoke. But it's not like, hey, we're looking at this guy. But you just got to listen to some of the things that they're saying. Like I mentioned earlier, talking about Dan Quinn said there's 5 to 8 guys that can have an immediate impact. Like, he stressed that. They can have an immediate impact rushing the passer, coming off that edge. So if you think about it, everybody's not looking for an edge rusher. Now, granted, and idealistically, you would think that teams would be going after those type of guys because those guys have so much more value than they did 10 years ago because of this pass-happy league that they are in right now. But when you look at it, it's a – you have that many guys that they are very high on. That means that those guys are right around the same – as far as, I guess, value.
Right, how they value them.
How they value them. Yeah. So if there's 5 to 8 guys, there's no guy that I'm willing to trade up for.
Exactly. And I think that they view it this way, where it's like they have that group of guys that they value at the 31 pick. But they also have other guys that they think are similar talent-wise, but they could get later. And I've got one guy very specifically in mind that, if those 2, 3, 4 names that they covet at 31 are no longer there, if Charles Harris is gone, if TJ Watt is gone, whoever you want to put in that category, whoever those guys are for them, if they're all gone at 31, I think they trade into the second round and they take Derek Rivers.
Yes.
Because I think Derek Rivers is a guy.
Him.
Yeah, they love him.
Yes.
And I think that they feel that he's a Charles Harris type. That he's a TJ Watt type guy in terms of talent.
That other people don't value as
much
as they do.
But they know they can get him later.
Yes.
So if those guys that they value at 31 aren't there anymore, get a couple second round picks or get trade back into the second and get 2/3 or something. So then instead of having a first, second, and third, you have 2 seconds and 2/3.
Because they don't have a 6th round pick
right,
this year.
Or maybe you end up getting that 6th back and another second round pick and another third, or whatever it is. However you're able to bolster that draft. Because the thing about these guys that I like the most, the first round picks are always huge. But any general manager can pick a first round draft pick and have success. A broken clock is right twice a day.
Yes.
It's the late round picks where you separate yourself from
the
pack.
And they have been money on those.
And they've been money. Yes. So for me, I'm almost more excited at the prospect of Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff having 2 3rd round picks or 2 4th round picks or, you know, 3 picks in the 6th and 7th round versus maybe not the 6th and 7th round, but having 3 picks in the 4th and 5th round.
Third or fourth round?
Yeah, 3rd and 4th round. Guys,
Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman.
Just start naming guys.
I mean, Devondre Campbell.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Deion Jones was a second-round draft pick.
Austin Hooper.
So many of these guys that they've been able to grab have been later in the round. And even going back to Dan Quinn's involvement with Seattle's draft process, so many of those guys that are the cornerstones
Bobby
of their
Wagner,
defense.
Bobby
Wagner was a second round pick. Oh, Richard Sherman was a 5th round pick. Cam Chancellor was a 4th round pick. Like, they built that defense by being great in those middle to late rounds. That's why for me, if that guy, that one or two guys that they love at 31 isn't there, and they probably won't be, right? That Charles Harris, that big time guy that you need to get lucky for them to fall to you.
Right.
If they're not there, grab some extra draft picks, move back in the draft, and have a heyday on day 2 and day 3 of the draft because you know that they're good at picking up talent later on in the process.
Yeah, and I totally agree because when you have those team, like I said, a team that has been successful these past couple of years, it's hard not to trust them when it comes to the middle of the draft and doing your homework and finding those guys like a Derek Rivers out of Youngstown State, and the defensive end out of Villanova, whose name I haven't learned how to pronounce yet.
The defensive end?
6'7", 280, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. 260, 270.
Well, then there's the safety from UConn, too.
Yes, Obi Kenobi. Yes, yes.
That's who we started calling him.
They really like him. Dude,
I want
6'4".
I want that guy.
215, like, running a 4'4".
He looks like a freak of nature. Cam Chancellor. Like, and I realize
and you can play free safety too.
All right, yes. I realize they already have Keanu Neal for that Punisher, but this guy is so big and so fast.
Earl Thomas can hit too.
Yeah, he can. But like, so he's like Earl Thomas, not quite as fast, like not quite as rangy as Earl Thomas, but add 5 inches. Because he's 6'3". I mean, this guy is huge from UConn. And if that's something that you feel comfortable with taking a risk, I saw him slotted around a second to third round projection. Yep. Mm-hmm. I would love it more if it was a third rounder, but if they want to jump and take him in the second round, that's okay with me, too.
I have no problem with it at all.
No, I think I want that guy. That guy is quintessential Dan Quinn prototype secondary type of guy. Like, you bring him in here and you put him back there with Keanu Neal, you know how scared some of these wide receivers are going to be?
Man, let me tell you something. And it sounds bad. Ricardo Allen will have to train him, and he will have to learn up under him. But, and I think a type of guy Ricardo Allen is, he will probably do that.
Yeah.
Because, and then Ricardo Allen is cheap. You're not really spending any money in that position anyway.
$750,000 next year for Ricardo Allen?
The tender is actually $690,000.
Oh, so it's less.
It's $690,000. Wow. The deadline is actually coming up pretty soon on the 29th. Restricted free agents have to sign their tenders by April 29th. So the decision has to be made pretty soon for him. So if you looking to bring in a guy to study under him for a year, just say he signs that 1 year deal and wants to go somewhere else after the season, he learned up under him and all the while getting playing time. Also, I mean, man, you talking about a secondary? Wow. You have Jalen Collins, who's going to be playing on the outside more than likely. We still don't really know what they're going to do with that. I know they wanted to put Robert Offer in the nickel last year. That was the plan, but it didn't quite work out that way with Trufant getting hurt towards the end of the year.
Poole played some great nickel.
But Poole played great nickel.
Yeah.
And he's going to be cross-training at free safety also.
Right.
So, as you can see, Dan Quinn is maneuvering guys around. Like, all right, I'm going to put this guy here, put this guy over here. Let me draft this guy. Let him sit for a little while. Then I'm going to bring this guy in. You know, I just love it. I love the mastermind that is Dan Quinn.
And to Ricardo Allen's credit, I don't know if you saw this photo of him or not from the media day the other day that they had. He's taking the challenge of potentially being replaced very personally. He looks like he's been eating weights. Like, he looked massive.
Oh, yeah.
He looked totally different than he did last season.
Because you got to think about it. He moved from corner.
Oh, yeah.
He was a corner coming out of college. So.
And he knows all this stuff about how badly Dan Quinn wants to get that, quote, Earl Thomas type of safety.
Yes.
Like, he's taking the challenge on. He's got one
and
more
good
year.
For him,
and absolutely
good
right.
for him, go
so
out,
I say, go
out,
you
man.
Get that. You get that dude from UConn, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You bring him in to compete with Rico. And you just see what happens.
See what happens.
It's the best possible situation for all Falcons fans.
Both of them are going to be cheap. So, hey, battle it out. And I love that. That's why I say when people talk about Wes Schweitzer and how he's eating the weights and he's going to be the front runner and win that position, I don't believe that. You know why? Because Dan Quinn preaches what? Competition. He wants competition. That's why they picked up Hugh Thornton. That's why Garland's name has been mentioned. And I think they're going to draft a guy, too, to come in and compete. Because the guy that wins that battle, he's going to be ready. Because you have 3 to 4 guys competing for one spot. Oh, my goodness. You're going to see you're going to see those guys out there really going after it.
It's
because they're trying to win a spot.
Such a nice benefit of having so many positions already solidified that you can bring in 2-3 cheap guys, make them compete for the one. Because there's one opening on offense. There's one spot that's open on offense.
One.
All the receiver positions are set.
Well,
there may be a tight end battle depending on what they do in the draft.
I want to see what Joshua Perkins does, too, because I really like him.
Very excited to see what Joshua Perkins can
do. Oh, yeah. UW.
He's out of the University of Washington.
Yeah. Gotta check your boy out, man.
We don't do anything but produce tight ends.
Yes, they all do.
Although,
I do. That's what she said.
Hopefully Joshua Perkins can have a slightly different off-the-field persona as the other UW tight ends, Jeremy Stevens and Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Ooh, yeah. Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Talent, yes.
Talent, yes.
Brains, no.
No, not
Joshua
at all.
Joshua Perkins, on
Common
the other
sense,
hand.
Common sense, probably not.
Joshua Perkins has shown nothing but brains off the field, I will say that. Yeah, so a week away, man. A week away from this draft. Very excited as we count down to it. All this conjecture, all this conversation that we've had for the last handful of months.
We've been wrapping up for a little while now.
We'll finally know. And you know what's going to be great about it? After all the names that we've said, all the people that we've thrown out here, when Dan Quinn drafts some random dude at 31 who nobody's ever heard of or talked about.
That's why I said Dorian Johnson, because I know the Falcons are going to throw a curveball. They're going to draft. They might end up drafting Derek Rivers in the first round.
Right.
Who
they
knows?
Might. They might.
6'5", 260, running a 4'6". Like, this dude freaking of an athlete. Why not?
How mad are people going to be when they draft Buda Baker in the first round?
I think people will be upset.
Yeah.
I know you're smiling now because he's a UW guy. You know?
And he again, when you talk about trying...
And
trying,
he's smallish, too.
He's,
so,
he's Earl Thomas.
Is he Earl Thomas?
He's Earl Thomas.
You know, I mean, I've been hearing a lot of good things about him.
And his name's Buddha.
And his name is Buddha.
Which is awesome.
Like, you can't... Like, you have Buddha, Keanu... Look at... That is a hell of a safety tandem right there.
That's a Zen safety
Buddha
tandem.
And Keanu? Oh, my God. Buddha Baker and Keanu Neal.
That's the name of some pothead's cats. Like, that is the name of...
Some
hippie's cat.
Weed smoker that is probably smoking all the weed he can right now on 420. And then you have Keanu Neal, who's named after a guy whose famous line is, whoa. You know, like, well, you can't get any better than that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Rico. I'm sorry, man.
Give me that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that, actually. I wouldn't mind seeing that. So, we've talked about the draft, talked about the schedule coming out. You have a dumbest doggone take of the week?
Can I give my dumbest doggone take just to the dumbest doggone thing?
Yes, let's do it.
Can I have my dumbest doggone thing?
Let's do it, man. It's our podcast. We can do whatever we want.
The dumbest doggone thing of the week is the third postponement of the opening of Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Ooh, watch yourself now.
And
you
the
know
fact,
everybody listened to this. Right?
And the fact that we're trying to be convinced that it's not a bad thing. Like who do these people think we are?
They,
like,
literally are stopping demolition of the Georgia Dome.
Do they
of this.
Think we're stupid?
That's an insurance policy.
Right. Don't worry about that. Yeah, okay, we're not going to tear the Georgia Dome down, but don't worry. We were going to do that anyway. We're delaying the opening for the third time now, but don't worry. Things happen when you're building a stadium. It has nothing to do with
all
the
about home games in the preseason or in the back end of preseason.
Well, then this guy Steve Cannon, the guy who's the CEO of the AMB group that's building the stadium, has the audacity to say it has nothing to do with the operability of the roof. And then in his next segment, in his next sentence, says, "Yeah, it's because of the roof." Oh, wait a minute. So. Which is it
then?
Very
complex.
Is it not the roof,
very complex.
Or is it the roof? And he's like, well, you know, with surveying and planning, we miscalculated Dude, come on. Don't pee on my leg and tell me that it's raining. You are peeing on my leg. It is warm. Rain is not that warm. Like, it's obvious. Like, look, I hope they get it done. Again, it's the same thing with those quarterbacks we talked about early in the podcast. I don't hope that the stadium is not ready at the start of the season. I hope that it is. I hope that they play those preseason games there. I hope that they play Green Bay at home on Sunday Night Football in week two. I just am not optimistic about it. And I don't know how you can be given everything that's happened. All of the, like I said last night, and it's one of my favorite analogies to make. If you plugged all of these symptoms into WebMD that you've been given from the situation with the dome, the diagnosis would be you're not going to have a dome ready in time. That's what WebMD would tell you. You are sick. You have a sick
here,
dome
here,
situation.
Here.
Oh, yeah, I've got the sniffles. I've got a headache. Yeah. I've got this. I've got that. Oh, right, you've got the flu.
Yes.
Well, they've delayed it three times, and they're not going to tear down the other dome
that
they used to play in.
That's still up, yeah.
Right, that's because it's not going to be ready in time.
By the way, they're auctioning off. They've delayed the auction for all the stuff they've been trying to sell, like seats and all this
All the people
stuff
that bought the seats. Could you bring those back?
Yeah, like,
sorry. Just kidding.
Wait a minute. We're going to postpone.
We need the scoreboard back.
But what about
back.
My payment? No, no, we're going to hold on here, to that
yeah, we're
right
keep the
now.
Money. We need the turf back.
Season ticket holder for Atlanta United. Yeah, we're going to give you a refund.
That's the dumbest doggone
credit.
Thing that happened this
Not
week.
Not refund, credits. Like, you know?
And again, it's okay. I understand it takes time to build stadiums. Just don't lie to me and tell me that, well, you know, this happens with building stadiums. No, it doesn't.
Stop
no,
using
doesn't.
Buzzwords yeah. like complex, like every other word, you know.
Right. We're not stupid.
Yes.
I realize we're just sports fans, and you billionaire stadium builders think that you're smarter than us, but we're not stupid. We see what's happening.
Yes, we know what's going on. That's a good dumbest doggone thing of the week. You know what?
I'm fired up about that one.
Going to continue the dumbest doggone thing of the week. Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, boy.
Dude.
Oh boy.
Goes out and gets a stripper pregnant. Like, okay. Like, I understand that a lot of people don't value marriage nowadays. I mean, I know it's kind of harsh to say it like that, but I do. Like, dude, you're in the NBA. More than likely, you're going to get stuff thrown at you probably on a daily basis. And nowadays, I've heard, and then we've talked about this on the show, on the podcast as well. You know, you have Tinder. It's just you can just swipe, and a woman can just show up at your hotel room and do whatever you want to do, and just go on about your business.
Hey, did he actually say that Lala is married and I'm not?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand. Why get married?
I don't know.
Do what Derek Jeter did. Wait until after the fact. You don't have to send her roses and take her phone and all that stuff. All your business can be out in the street, just like it is right now. But don't get married. And Lala is like super duper fine. That's why I have a philosophy. Dudes going to cheat regardless.
Regardless.
They're going to cheat regardless. If you can cheat on Halle Berry and Serena Williams and Lala, like who is like super fine. And, you know, I love them on Power, by the way. What's the point of being married, dude, if you're going to... Okay, all right, so let me bring it down to homeboy level. Let me take it to the homeboy level. If you're going to cheat, use a condom. Like, isn't like women, there are women out there that are actually dreaming or concocting a plan to get that 18-year ride, baby. They are trying to go on an 18-year ride. You know what 18-year ride is, Bunk?
Yes, I do.
Yes, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get paid.
Yes, they are.
To be a mother and not work for at least the next 18 years.
I just...
And the dude had a cheating thing in his prenup.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
That was in his prenup?
Yes.
What a dummy.
Dude, how can
he had a bad week?
You can't be dumb.
Phil Jackson told him he should go elsewhere, and then a stripper comes out and says she's pregnant by him. That's
dude,
a bad week.
So here's how you're going to get hit for the next 18 years. You're going to get hit with alimony. You're probably going to get child support from your child you have with Lala, who's probably, I think, 10 years old right now. You'll at least have 8 more years of that. And, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm sure, old girl, who you got pregnant, she's going to get that 18-year sentence for you also. So, yeah, you got about 26 years of child support. And, yeah, $200 million, yeah, half that's gone, buddy. And, yeah, they're probably going to hit you with about $25,000 a month, you know, $30,000 a month, like some exorbitant amount of money that Lala really doesn't need, but she's going to get it up out you anyway. Bruh, come on, man. That is dumb. Stop it, please. Don't do it if you can't do it.
Stay out of the strip club.
Yes. No, I don't say you don't have to stay out of strip club. To each his own. But don't be married going to a stripper. You know, I like to call it being drafted by the Chicago Bears. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't get drafted by the Bears or the Redskins.
Or the Browns.
Or the Browns. That's nasty.
That's nasty. Yeah.
Yes, that is very nasty.
That was an unfortunate innuendo that I did not mean.
Yes, it's okay. It's all right, man.
He might have got drafted by the Browns, too.
You're
although if
with
he would have just done
yes.
that, then he wouldn't have got her pregnant.
Yes.
Gross.
Yeah, that is all sorry. Time. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you
that's
went there.
Probably a good place to end it.
Yeah, that probably is
that's
the
disgusting.
End. The Doggone Football Podcast. I'm Jarvis Davis.
And I'm Mike Bell, sitting in for Andy Bunker this week.
Man, let's get the hell up out of here.
Sorry about that, everyone.
It's all right. We'll do better next week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.